You're listening to the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show, only on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
It's 9:35 and we're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, this week, as we've been talking about the topic of aquariums, I have done it to you. I've made you the guest because nobody talks to the fish more except, well, maybe Jacques Cousteau. But bottom line is, no one I know talks to the fish more than you. And before the break, we were talking about setting up that perfect environment, because on tank, they can build the most magnificent tanks on planet Earth, but it doesn't matter, because if you don't have healthy fish going into the tank and the right chemistry of the water and the right groups of fish that can coexist together, that tank is not going to thrive. So how do you go about building up the right characters grouped together in a water that is going to allow them to survive? Talk a little bit about assembling all of that together.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'd love to, because that's kind of what we do every day. The good news is we have hundreds of customers coming in throughout the week, or at least through the month, that actually want to do exactly what you're talking about. And it's just a few basics. There's nothing really difficult about having an aquarium. And the first one starts with the fact is their water, specifically their water, going to work for what they need to do? And most commonly it is, or we can figure out ways of making it good. But they need to realize that their water, for instance, and let's just kind of, for sake of conversation, we'll talk about freshwater because that's what most people might jump into the hobby with. But the conversation kind of parallels this if we go saltwater.
Right.
But let's just talk about freshwater. And the reality is that it's, when you open up your tap and water comes out, we see, we put it in our aquarium or we put it in a picture and we look and we see all these air bubbles showing up, okay? And those air bubbles are gases that at high pressure are in there. They just have to be by definition. And when you put them in your aquarium, they come out and they attach the sidewalls of the tank. Well, patience is all you need. You just have to wait a day or two. But what happens if you put fish in, when those go in, and this is the first and most common mistake we see happening time and time again, is they'll go through the aisle, they'll be pushed in their cart at a store, and they'll see an aquarium, they'll throw it in their cart, they'll take it to the counter and pay for it, fill it up with water, and take some fish and plop right in it. And unfortunately, they die. And they die because those gas bubbles that show up attach themselves to the gill membranes of the fish and don't allow them to pick up oxygen. There's probably a few other possibilities. A lot of tap water has chlorine in it, so we need to make sure that they dechlorinate the water before they actually put fish in there.
Right.
And then the pH of the water, it's a technical conversation, but the good news is they can just bring in a water sample, we test the conditions, and we find fish after it's ran for about 48 hours that can live within that water.
Right.
And that's step one.
And does it make a difference if they've got city water versus if they're on a well and septic system?
Absolutely. The compression of water and the gases in there is the same problem whether it's city or well, because that's how it comes out of the tap, but it has to be under pressure. But the reality is that well water, there's not too many places in the planet for which fish swim in that would be equivalent to what's down deep in the well. And I wouldn't say there isn't many places where fish live. There are, but that's hard water, okay? That's really hard water. A lot of mineral salts in there, a lot of high pH and whatnot. And so it takes about 25 to 35% of the freshwater fish, in the case of freshwater, out of even the realm of possibility, okay? Right. They're just not going to be able to get into those unless they do something more drastic, like import water home, as an example. Whereas city water, it needs to be dechlorinated because they put chlorine in there, and they actually don't put chlorine in there. They actually put ammonia in there and chlorine. Those two bond together and form what's called chloramine, and that chloramine is particularly harmful to fish, but simple to take care of because they just need to add 3 drops of this or 10 drops of that. You know what I'm saying? So it's not hard to take care of that, but they need to be aware. It does open up, for instance, like in freshwater here in Lansing, the water that we have here, to some extent, is perfect right off the get-go. There's very few fish. Like 99% of the fish that we have in freshwater will do quite nicely with Lansing City water. We might have to buffer it up a little bit, but it's easy to work with. Long-term, it has its own peculiarities. So there is some advantages to having well water, because long-term you can hold a pH better. There's some advantages to having Lansing City water as an example, because the water is much more pliable to work with and more varieties of fish can live in it.
Right. So what I'm hearing you say then is that when I bring the aquarium home and I put in the rocks down on the bottom and I go through and I fill it up with water, the first thing that I need to do is not to put fish in that tank, but is to let the tank run and begin to cycle and bring in a water sample to you in order to measure it? Or is that not necessarily a step I need to take?
Well, letting it run for 48 hours would be the first step.
Okay.
And then beyond that, let's know what the parameters are. Let's, you know, we might be talking to somebody in Denver. So the most important thing is to let it run and then learn at least what its pH and hardnesses are, maybe test some basic parameters. And then, and that's what we do.
Okay.
That's what we expect our customers to do, is bring in a water sample.
Okay.
I think the next step is that most customers don't get this. That if you take fish and put a number of them in your tank right off the get-go, even if the chlorine didn't kill them because you let it set for 48 hours, even because the water conditions are good for the types of fish you put in there,
right?
If you put a good number of fish in there, it's kind of like putting the cart before the horse, not to say a trite expression, but the reality is that if you put a lot of fish in there, they're going to do what fish do, and they do the thing that land animals do. They go to the bathroom, you know?
Right.
And the problem is that you're... What makes an aquarium super healthy, like, hey, all my fish are doing well and living,
right,
is simply the fact that bacteria colonize the entire aquarium and makes it so that fish can live in there because it deals with the waste from the fish.
Okay.
Well, the problem is that if you put a number of fish in there, you get the ammonia ahead of the bacteria, and you want to get the bacteria ahead of the ammonia. So we have a number of strategies or approaches to make sure that happens. It can happen on its own if you only add two or three small fish in, let's say, a 20-gallon tank.
Right.
And then you be careful in your feeding habits.
Right.
Okay. Strategic, I'd like to say.
Right.
And wait a month and a half. Let's say you're someplace where you can't even take a water sample in and you don't own a test kit. If you just wait a month and a half and don't overfeed and you just have a couple fish forms in there doing it,
right,
those bacteria show up naturally and you're putting the horse in front of the cart that way.
Right.
There are more effective ways that we have and more techniques that we can get you on the road within like 1 to 2 weeks, if not overnight. But that's just knowing that we need to have a bacterial significant environment to make good things happen. And these are bacteria that break down specifically ammonia.
Right. Now, is the rule the same with salt water as it is with fresh water in the same regard, or is that a little bit more complicated?
Actually, it's a lot more easy.
Oh, really?
It's like crazy easy.
Wow.
So in the world of saltwater fish keeping, this is why I don't like to stereotype. If you're new to the hobby, you shouldn't do saltwater.
Right.
That's the last statement that I would make.
Okay.
It's just you need to understand what you're doing,
right?
You know, so for instance, in saltwater, one thing that's been on the horizon since early 90s is the development of what we call reef tanks.
Right.
And think of this as nature's fully established ecosystem within a small box,
right?
You know, whether it's 20 gallons or 150 gallons or some of the big tanks that Tank puts on.
Right.
When we throw live rock in there, live rock is rock that's from the ocean or has been cultured from the ocean environment. Sometimes we take land rock and put it out in the ocean,
right,
and farm it, if you will. But rock that's been exposed to the bacteriology of the ocean or an ocean-like environment, like one of our tanks, you know, we can put it in that new tank, and all of a sudden the tank is fully established biologically. No ammonia, no nitrite problem, no other chemical issues that we typically see over the first 4 to 6 weeks in a freshwater tank,
right,
ever occur in a reef tank.
Right.
That doesn't mean you're going to have a reef tank overnight, but that issue that I just talked about, the ammonia problem,
yeah,
never shows up in saltwater, especially if we do a reef tank. Only if we do a reef tank.
Because the biology is already there.
Right. You're bringing
in the live rock.
Yeah. It teaches you the power of bacteria.
Okay.
And we can do that in freshwater. We actually do some of that. You know, I said there are some techniques that we can use.
Right.
We kind of do the equivalent of that technique in freshwater, but for the sake of this conversation, let's just say that we need to be aware that in freshwater, as well as in saltwater, we need to have a good biology or bacteriology of the aquarium. aquarium.
Right. Well, Rick, we've got to take another break, but when we come back, what I'd like to talk about is what are the right kinds of fish to add in terms of both their size and how many of them, and also which breeds can coexist with each other and which ones need to be kept separate, because a lot of times that can cause the problem is when you put the wrong characters into the same neighborhood, it gets a little bit ugly, both with people and with fish. So that's where we're going to go with the conversation right after the break here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.
If you're out of the listening area, you can hear the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show live online. Go to 1320WILS.com and click on the Listen Live link. Got some ideas, questions, suggestions? Email us at mmpets at 1320WILS.com or message us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/mmpets. Like us on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/mmpets. You can upload your own pictures and interact with other pet enthusiasts.